Gee, what a fun way to spend a birthday, huh, Ned?
Yeah. we should tell people that this tape had been sitting, the cassettes, and we're listening to digitally reproduced cassettes that sat in my closet for 26, I guess, years.
They played like butter.
Yeah, and I have the Barbra Streisand where they concert where they someone yells from the audience, "You sound like butter."
That's where that whole thing came from, yeah. The big television Saturday Night Live riff and everything.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yes.
You collect Barbra Streisand concerts and bootleg tapes?
No.
Okay.
No,
just checking.
But having grown up in New York and my parents raising me to be a scientist and a scholar, but also an entertainer in the sense that they thought I'd be the life of the party or something. I got to see all the Broadway shows. I learned tap dancing and ballroom dancing, and my first role model and hero was, dare I say it, on KPFA, Frank Sinatra. In any case, Barbra Streisand was someone I got to hear at her first concert in Central Park, and her marvelous adaptation of jazz techniques to popular music was something that influenced me. In that regard, I'd like to say that I was very lucky on my birthday, but for the 5 years preceding this, to get to play with musical heroes of mine. And by musical heroes, I don't mean people just that I enjoyed playing and had moved me emotionally and spiritually, but people who had actually shaped my melodic style, and I'm referring particularly to Jerry and to David Crosby. And so to interact with them and to collectively improvise with them, which is what you're going to hear in a moment, was not only a great way to spend my birthday, but it was a great way to spend those 5 years. I told everybody that I had written Garcia a letter, and that's how I ended out here in 1970. Well, that letter did not surface again for 5 years, and it surfaced on 3/17/75, the date of this tape. It was in Jerry Garcia's guitar case, and Jerry pulled it out and showed it to me on my birthday. As a deja vu. Gotcha.
That's neat. Well, and one thing that's really striking about this is what a solid and interesting rhythm guitar player David Crosby is.
Spectacular.
He isn't really known for his guitar playing. I mean, I remember being blown away as a young guitar player just by his rhythm guitar playing on the song Woodstock and stuff. But, you know, he's known for his singing voice, and you hear this guy really knows what he's doing in this jam.
Well, David, I'm sure, listened to all the great jazz singers and all the great horn players, and one of the things that anecdotally that's pretty funny is when I came out here in 75, I flew out here and had no idea where I was going, and so Phil told me to fly out here, get on a bus, take it to San Francisco, and then go to the corner of Hyde and Turk Street, and right there you'll find Wally Heider's studio. So there I was. I got off the plane. I got on the bus. I went to Wally Heider's studio at Hyde and Turk there. I walked into the studio, and there was Jerry sitting at the board. And there's three studios, A, B, and C. And Jerry said to me, "Oh, you can play on our album," which was American Beauty, which just shocked me. But what was going on there was what I had heard about from the East Coast, which was this great interplay between all the different musicians, because in the other studio was the Jefferson Airplane, and in the third studio was David Crosby working on his first solo album. And I bring that up because we're talking about the jazziness and the jazzy feel of what we're playing tonight. Well, in 1970, when I sat in on David's record and on those takes, which were never used on his album, he walked over to me while he was playing and said, "Could you sound a little less jazzy?" And at that point, my hero had been Bill Evans, and I had grown up playing very lyrical, but with lots of sevenths and ninths. I'm sure some of you know what that means. But by the time we got to 1975, David was stacking chords, as I described, and you're going to hear more of that in a moment. And because of his ability to sing a cappella and sing and hear all the harmonics, as Jerry was able to do as well, jazz harmonies came naturally to them, and passing chords and harmonizations and transitions came very naturally to them. Fitting those into the rhythms of jazz also came very naturally to them. And I want to add that Bill Kreutzmann, who is known as a rock and roll drummer, and I don't know if he ever played any jazz, in my mind would have been a great jazz drummer, And on here, you can hear how solid he is, but how tasteful he is, and how appropriate he makes the drum sound to what we're doing. Anyway, going on to what we're going to play next is we're going to play number two and number three in this collection. Number two is only 41 seconds, and it is a little piece of mine. You like to call it a Sousa piece. It is reminiscent of Charles Ives and Eric Satie, and it's a very short little humor-esque piece. And this is one of the little pieces. It's out of order with what actually occurred that day, but it's one of the pieces that has John Cipollina as well on it. And if it's possible, David, after it ends, you'll hear all five of us sequentially laugh. And if you could turn up the volume a little bit so you can hear.
I did when I mastered this. Yeah, I cranked it up a little bit.
Because one of the interesting things that I'm proud of in this birthday tape is that everybody was laughing and having a really good time. I won't tell you all the reasons on the air why that's true, but I'd like to believe that some of them just have to do with the music. Before you start playing a little bit more musicology, number three is a collection of themes and rhythms that I have been working on. In the compendium, they're sort of labeled Grateful Dead things, but they're really not, even though Grateful Dead licks, particularly from Jerry, are played on top of them. And some of the things to listen for are some of the things, again, that come from the jazz world. One of my piano teachers played with Charlie Parker, and one of my heroes and who I got to listen to extensively when I was growing up in New York was John Coltrane. And one of the things they played in their different styles was what was called in the jazz world sheets of sound, huge numbers of notes and large almost topographies of sound. And so you're going to hear some of that in the piano, but also in the guitar. David is playing, maybe we should have noted this before, David is playing an electric 12 string. So you're going to be able to hear all these strings and his tuning, and you're going to be able to hear his strumming in the matrix of the sound. What goes on here is collective improvisation, and so to call this a jam and is very appropriate. This is not, and it's sort of tune development. It's in the tune laboratory. This is not meant to be heard by an audience. It was not. It's not a performance. It's us getting together for the sheer joy of making music together and for hearing syncopations and rhythms and trading them back and forth. What ends up happening, though, is something very surprising. We get to a point where David is listening very carefully over my shoulder and watching my hands, as is Phil in front of me, and we start playing into a set of changes that towards the end of this 18 or 19 minutes becomes almost a tune unto itself with a structure. One final musicological note is, having grown up listening to a lot of different kinds of music, some of this is not in typical 4-4 or 3-4 time. In one hand I'm playing in 1 meter, in another hand I'm playing in another meter, and the phrasing is not always in groups of fours or twos, as is normal Western popular music. That was by intent, and it leads to a little bit of a disjointed feel to it. But again, it flows and it works. We all knew what we were doing, and we liked doing what we were doing. Why don't you just play it?
Well, before I play it, I have to ask you please to call while the music is happening. This is fundraiser for KPFA, so we need you to pick up the phone and dial 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. My guest here is Ned Lajan, a keyboardist who did some amazing work, which we're about to hear from his birthday, March 17th, 1975, recorded in Bob Weir's studio. Ned Lajan on piano, David Crosby on electric 12-string, Jerry Garcia on electric 6-string, Phil Lesh on bass, Bill Kreutzmann on drums, and John Cipollina on this little short bit here on guitar. Right. We have just a bit of all-American goofiness and then this other nice jam. So dig all this, folks, and please call in a pledge to KPFA if you can while the music is happening. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being here, Ned.
Thank you, and everybody listen to the first piece closely, because it goes by faster than you'll believe.